Heavenly Father, help us to arrive at a place of readiness this morning so that we can hear your voice. We know there are many voices that clamor for our attention, and many times we're confused by all the voices that are rampant in the world. But in these moments, Heavenly Father, help us to open our ears and listen to hear your voice. And sometimes as we come into your presence, Heavenly Father, we know that we've done things this week we ought not to have done. And we've left undone things that we ought to have done. But we know that when we come in your presence and we ask for forgiveness, that your grace and love that we see displayed on the cross is applied to those places where we need forgiveness. And so, Lord, that helps us to be ready to enter deeper into this place of prayer. And as we do that, as we make a journey to the heart of this prayer, we find ourselves looking around and feeling so deeply grateful and thankful for this beautiful gift of another morning. Thankful that we can look across the aisle and see someone that we know and that we love. Thankful, Heavenly Father, that we can sense your presence here in these moments. And we open our hearts to your presence, Father. We are ready to hear. And Heavenly Father, we find ourselves as we think about so many things that we begin to feel a part of our soul just begin to praise you and have a sense of joy in your presence. And we can feel the elevation of our hopes and our dreams and our faith beginning to get stronger. And so, Heavenly Father, in this context, we pray for all of these requests that we've heard today. We thank you for the joys, and we do not take them for granted. We also thank you, Father, when we are in pain and when we are hurting and when we're watching someone we love suffer. We know that we can offer those things up to you, and we know that your house that you have declared shall be a place of prayer, that in prayer, when we by faith and agree, that mighty things can happen and do happen. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from John 10, verses 1 through 15. And I'll be reading this morning from a Revised Standard Version. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the way of the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may live and have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Jim. Now, we are accustomed to having our wonderful choir to sing between the reading of Holy Scripture and the sharing of the message. And I depend on that choir to kind of lift us up to a different place, a place of readiness to hear the Word of God. But are you ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Amen. All right. Now, I love this passage of Scripture that Jim has shared with us this morning. And there are so many layers of meaning in this story that Jesus tells. But I want to focus on that one where he says, "My sheep know my voice, and they will follow me." And it's those two things are tied together. They know my voice, and because they know my voice, and hence know who I am, they will follow me. But those who know my voice are not going to follow another strange voice. And so the question here that comes to my mind is, how do we know the voice of God? Now, in those days when they'd gather the sheep together at the end of the evening, quite often there were many flocks, and quite often the owner of those flocks would gather them together in a common corral. Sometimes they'd even put them in a cave. And the next morning, the shepherd would come, and he would stand at the door of that fold, and he would call his sheep by name. And that particular sheep would have to separate himself and come out to its master. And he would do that because he knew that voice. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. My sheep know my voice. Our Lord is in the business of speaking. He's never stopped speaking. He spoke yesterday and in the past. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, he is speaking right at this moment. And he will speak tomorrow and he will speak in the future. But if he is speaking, and of course he is speaking, then it means that we have to be listening. And listening for that voice and coming to know that voice more and more as we walk in relationship with that voice, this good shepherd. And that is the key to knowing the voice, is simply to walk in a relationship with the risen Lord. You get to know that voice among all the other voices. And sometimes if a thief and a robber would come to the door, and even if they knew the name of the sheep and call the sheep by name, that sheep would say, "Wait a minute, I hear my name, but that's not the voice of the good shepherd." They know the difference. A long time ago when we were beginning to just record records, and I remember having an old 48 RPM, I think that's what you call them, in our house for the first time, and those long playing records, you remember all that? But if you go back further than that, when RCA was beginning to record, and even back to Edison himself, and he made the first recordings on wax, if you can believe that. And he would put his voice on the wax, and then he'd try to listen to his voice among all that static and that noise. And so RCA had a logo. They showed a dog sitting down and a big, long hearing cylinder, and the dog listening with one ear, and it tapering down to a narrow point to pick up the sounds on that wax disc. And so RCA, they pictured this dog, and under the inscription was, "The Master's Voice." So that dog, he was listening, and they captured this moment when he heard, in all the noise and the scratches, when he heard the Master's voice, his head cocked sideways, those ears cupped up, because he could recognize the Master's voice, because he listened for that voice. Now, if you want to know the voice of God, then it begins with coming to know the shepherd of God, his son. If you want to hear the Father's voice, you ought to get acquainted with the Son, because he is a reflection of the Father's voice. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we begin to hear the Father's voice the moment that we say yes to God and invite God into our heart and into our lives. And if there's a person here this morning who feels you're not hearing that voice, I invite you to invite the Son of God into your life, and he will teach you that voice. I feel that sometimes we have a problem hearing is because we haven't made a basic commitment of ourselves like that. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, he says that a natural man cannot receive spiritual things. And what Paul's talking about here, you have to enter into a relationship with the Almighty God through his Son, and you're suddenly transformed, a beginning of a new birth in your life. And out of that new birth, you begin to spiritually able to hear the voice of God. But the natural man cannot hear that voice because he hasn't entered into that spiritual relationship with the Lord. Now, I've often spoke about C.S. Lewis because he's had an impact on my life. But for half of his life, he was an atheist. And for half of his life, he was ascending that ladder of intellectual achievement. And on his walls are at least 4 doctorate degrees that he had. But in all of that, he had a hunger and a thirst and a yearning. And no matter what he learned, and no matter what kind of relationships he had, or reaching a status in Oxford University, which he did, he said, in spite of all of that, I had this hunger and this yearning and this thirsting. And nothing I could learn, nothing I could do would quench that thirst and nurture that hunger. But he said something else was going on in my life, and you find all this in his book entitled Surprised by Joy. Every now and then, he said, I'd have this sense of incredible yearning for something I couldn't identify, this thirst, this longing. But in retrospect, he looked back at that after his conversion, and he said, you know something, that yearning and that hunger and that thirst was the voice of God. And once he heard that voice of God, and he said one night in his study, he bowed his head and he said yes to the reality of the Good Shepherd. And from that point on, he began to see and hear the Lord's presence almost in everything. Now he could hear the Word of God in Holy Scripture. I have found it to be true that it never fails. To those who love the Lord, they learn to immediately love the Scripture, because that's where the voice of God can be so clearly seen, in the words of inspired Scripture. And it's been my experience in my life, those who come into a fresh relationship with the Lord for the first time or on their pilgrimage, some point where they come to another level, and out of that they come with a sense of a new love and a new forgiveness, they automatically want to know more about the Word of God. It's just an axiom in the faith. And I have spoken often about Rick Siegel. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are many other examples I could give you that illustrate this point. But one afternoon late, we sat in my office, and this broken man before me, I sat there and listened to him for over an hour without hardly doing anything except nodding my head. And finally, at a point when he was right down at the depths of his brokenness, and he stopped. And I looked up and I said, Rick, God loves you, and I love you. Now, those words, ladies and gentlemen, can be trite, can be just like a cliche. We use them so often. But for him, at that place, he was ready to hear and needed to hear a right word at the right time, spoken in the right way. We can find our hearts. And there was something awakened in him. And you know what happened in his life? It was a dramatic transformation that's still unfolding today in his life. But after that, he took his Bible and he began to study that Bible. Because the same love that touched his life, he could feel it, that love resonating in the words before him in the New Testament. And he took a Bible class and began to teach that class, because he could hear the voice of God in the Holy Scripture. Those who love the Lord will have a love for his word, because there is the voice of God and the mediation through those words, the living presence of God. And I don't have to go back to Rick Siegel. I can talk about a good friend of mine by the name of Phil Brown. And he knows every now and then I'm going to talk about him. But Phil Brown has been a Christian most of his life. And a good Mason, I might add. Which, you know, you have to be a believer to be a Mason. But Phil Brown went to a retreat. And God touched his life there. Amen, Phil? Amen. God touched his life. He came away from that with a new sense of the presence and the love of God in his heart. And what is the first thing that Phil Brown wanted to do? And first of all, he began to see things differently. Begin to see people differently, see himself differently, hear the voice of God differently. But the first thing he wanted to do, he said, Pastor, let's get a Bible study together and study the Bible. It's axiomatic for those who love the Lord. They are going to love his inspired word. And that's where you begin to hear the voice of God. Now, C.S. Lewis, he began to see the majesty of God everywhere. He began to see God in nature. God, anything that reveals the reality of God, that is the voice of God. And he began to see God and hear God in music and in books. And I have to tell you, after I finished my 10 years of education, kind of scrambled my head somewhat, although I had a college degree, a degree in theology and a degree in psychology. I thought I knew a lot, but the fact of the matter is my head was kind of scrambled, and one day someone gave me a little book by the name of Mere Christianity, written by C.S. Lewis. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that book became the voice of God to me. It became the means by which I began to put together all of those things I had learned in the presence of the living Christ. God speaks in so many ways to us. Books can be a thing that can change our life. But C.S. Lewis began to see God everywhere. He saw him in nature. You know, Paul says in Romans, the first chapter, you know, we can see the invisible reality of God by looking at the visible world. God's thoughts are embedded in the natural order of things. And it's no longer just a tree out there. It's no longer just a spring. It is something that God has done, and our spirits can resonate with the beauty of this creation of the natural world. And doesn't Psalms 19 say God speaks? The heavens declare the glory of God. Day and night declare his word goes throughout all the earth. But when you come to know the author of all of that, you begin to respond a different way and hear a different voice. You can't reduce it just to a natural world any longer. It is a thought of God. His spirit is in it. C.S. Lewis began to sense the presence of God beyond words. You know, my wife and I am glad for those moments when no one's saying a word, which is rare in our household. But there are those moments when neither of us are speaking, but yet I can sense her love for me. And sometimes it's not that God speaks in an audible voice. He just comes to us and we become aware of his presence. But you see, that's still the voice of God, just the sense of his presence in my heart and in my life. And it's there for those who would deepen their faith. And then C.S. Lewis, he fell in love, and he became one with this woman he fell in love with. And he was ready for real love at that time. And in the oneness with this woman who became his wife, he began to hear the voice of God. Out of that companionship, he began to understand what it means to be in companionship with the author of all love. The voice of God was there. And conversely, ladies and gentlemen, as we get to know the word of the voice of Christ, the voice of our Lord, we also begin to become aware of the voice of the enemy, the voice of evil. I think about Jesus Christ when he announced to his disciples, I'm going out to Jerusalem and I'm going to be put to death there. And Peter said to him, Lord, that's not going to happen. He actually got in front of Christ and forbade the Lord to do it. And Jesus said, Peter, get thee hence behind me, Satan. You see, that was a voice that was contrary to the voice of the Lord. It was a learning lesson for Peter. But we begin to learn places where you can actually feel evil. You know that the Lord is not in that. And those places we can begin to discern the presence of God and we can hear His voice. I want to share a parable with you this morning. That kind of illustrates the theme a little bit. Once upon a time, there was a group of mice, and they decided to make their home in an upright piano. And so they did make their home in that upright piano. And then one day they heard this beautiful music, although it scared and frightened them at the time. But they began to listen to that music. They became enthralled with that music. It had a way of lifting them out of themselves to a different place. An excitement. Something they couldn't explain in their world. But they began to feel like life was not a matter of just procreation. It's not a matter of just the next meal and survival. They began to feel something entirely different. And then they decided to appoint a mouse to go up and to look, where is the music coming from? So they appointed a mouse, and he went up, and he was gone for hours. And then finally he came back and to make his report, and they were so anxiously waiting, and he said, "Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's nothing more than taut strings and little hammers." Taut strings and little hammers. All of a sudden, oh no, is that all there is to it? And they were so depressed about it, and finally a wise mouse said, "Well, you wait a minute here. Who made those taut strings and little hammers? And who decided when those little hammers would pound on what string? And how many times? And the rhythm?" And they said, finally said, "You know, maybe there's a super mouse." Now, Jesus Christ is not a super mouse. But He is the one that has put together the great music of life. And when we reduce the majesty of Lord just to taut strings and little hammers, when we can see a sunrise and say that's scientifically explained, that's just hues of this, that, and the other, when we can hear a newborn baby cry and feel that that can be reduced just to an organism that is not a living soul, and when we can take love as beautiful as it can be and say that's nothing but sex and begin to reduce it all to just taut strings and little hammers. And so those mice, they began to enjoy that music once again. It was something transcendent about it. They could hear the voice of God in that, a super mouse up there somewhere who made all this possible. And guess what? He made us able to enjoy that music. The voice of God is more than taut strings and little hammers. Jenny Lind was on her way to the United States. And in the 60s and 70s, she was a well-known classical singer. And she was coming to the United States for the first time on a tour for a concert. And she asked the captain said, "When we get out to the sea, Captain, and on a clear morning, would you wake me before daylight? Because I've never seen the sun come up over the sea." And he said, "Sure, I'll do that." And he did do that. And so before daylight, she got up and she went out and stood on the bow of the ship waiting for the sun to come up out of the sea. And finally, the sun just edged up a little bit and she began to notice the change in the texture of the color of the white caps. And that sun began to ascend more and more over the ocean, and she stood there enthralled in that. And a scientist said, "You can reduce that down to taut strings and little hammers." But the captain was watching her. No one else was present that early in the morning. But the captain was watching her, and he heard her sing that song out of Handel's Messiah. "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And in that moment, the captain said, in my own soul, I began to feel the stirrings of something. That was the voice of God as she her spirit resonated with the gift of a new day that God was giving to her on that open sea. This past week, Ann and I were listening to public broadcasting, and we were watching a symphony out of New York, in New York City Park, of all places. I have been there. And it was raining, and it was dark, and the guest was Andre Bocelli. And he's a blind tenor. He's one of the world's greatest tenors. And some of you have heard him. And so Ann and I were sitting there enjoying that music. And suddenly they stopped. And this man has to be led on the stage, has to be led to a mic, has to be led off the stage. But he began to sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Here's a man singing about God's voice spoken on the cross of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't help it. He sang it in a way I'd never heard before. And I began to feel a stirring in my own soul. My spirit began to resonate with what that song meant and maybe with the heart of the singer. But it wasn't just a song that can be reduced to taut strings and little hammers. It was something in which the voice of God could be heard. And God help us, ladies and gentlemen, that we will listen and let the Holy Spirit train us more and more to hear God's voice in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you, Father, that you do speak to us. We can say for sure we wouldn't be here if we had some point in our life had not heard your voice. But here today, Father, we're glad to hear that voice again. And take us by the hand and lead us in the spiritual depths where more and more we recognize your voice in all the phases of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, there's an insert in your bulletin. This is a hymn not in our own hymnal, but it is a hymn that I have chosen to sing. You may not know it. "My sheep know my voice." Now, let's stand and sing that together. Sally's going to help us.